good morning, as opposed to good afternoon today. I'm Bryce. It is House Seats Presents. Thank you for joining us today. We have a full house, as in, here we go. Hey, here, there we go. It's Friday morning. We're doing the show a little differently today. We have our guest, Mark Chinook, who is caught up in a little bit of traffic, but he'll be here shortly. But I wanted to start off and talk to about the little weekend roundup that we have. First of all, the weekend hasn't happened yet, so I'm still waiting for something to happen. But we did have an opening here this week. We had the opening of J-Lo's residency over at the Planet Hollywood. And we were mysteriously not invited to that opening.
What?
Oh, yeah, there it is. I forgot the name of the show, so it's All I Have, and All I Have I haven't seen. So we're excited to go see it. I think we'll be going to see it in the next couple of days, so we'll be able to report on that for you next time we see you. Also, yeah, see, there's a little bit of her. I'm sure her dancers are probably amazing, wouldn't you think? Dancers are awesome. Also, we do have Keely out there in the audience. Hey, Keely's makeup to the stars. Keely just wrapped, what, how many weeks with the Property Brothers? 4 weeks. And they're doing a four-month show here on, okay, that's awesome. I don't think you can talk any more about it, right? Because it's, yeah, it's top secret stuff. But basically, those guys are pretty awesome. Also, this week, my other business, I know there's more than one thing we're doing here. We are launching a DW Bistro pop-up restaurant. We're doing that in the downtown World Market for all the interior designers that come into town and take over downtown, about 50,000 of them. So we're doing a DW pop-up restaurant. So I've been encompassed in that. I've already been up for 3 hours. See, I have my protein shake today. Yeah, I know. When Jason woke up this morning, we're like, are we really leaving the house before the sun's up? Yes. So I had my protein shake. And of course, producer Scott has to have, we have to have the whiskey. What is this kind called? It's an Irish, it smells like something medicinal, definitely. But it tastes like tennis balls. Yeah, he's going to bring it. We'll put it on here for you. Oh, yes, that's right. You know what? I lived in Ireland for like 8 months, and I used to know how to pronounce that last part, like Raog, I think. Lafreog. La shit. I don't know what it is, but but it tastes like a tennis ball. It's so gross. It's really nasty. Yeah, I'm not really a fan, but I'll drink it because it'll help a little bit this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Ew. I feel like I just had 100 tennis balls launched at my throat. Which would be okay if I was playing with Andre Agassi. Andre, I also invite you to come on the show too. So more about the pop. Well, actually, I'll give you a little intro about Mark so that when Mark gets here, he can just talk about Mark. Mark is a really good guy. Oh my God. No, Mark has been in Rock of Ages. I'm talking to him as if he's here. Mark has been at Rock of Ages, which just wrapped at the Venetian, is now moving over to the Rio, opens Monday. Yeah, that's Mark's the biggest ham you'll ever meet. And Mark launched a series called Monday's Dark. It's a monthly show. Right now it's at the Vinyl, at Vinyl, at Hard Rock, the Vinyl. And it's been very successful. He's done it for different charities here in town, and he's raised a lot of money. And he just celebrated his 3-year anniversary of Monday's Dark last month. So yeah, January 25th is the Anchorman show, which you just popped up there. That tickets are only $20, and literally he has people up and down the strip, very similar to the way we do set lists as far as different artists and guests coming on stage and talking about what they're doing and then singing and then being a part of the theme that he has. So I'll let him talk about the theme of Anchorman when he comes in here, because I'm very curious. I've never seen Anchorman before. Is that him? Hi, Mark. You come right on in. You're coming. Come right on in, because we're actually already live.
No.
Yeah, we are. We go live, but that's okay. What kind of place is this? Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi, handsome.
Let's do this.
Here you go. You want a shot?
Yes.
Taste that. And ask me. Tell me what you think it tastes like.
Sweet love.
Oh. We think it. That's Keely right there. Give a shot to Keely. We think it tastes like a tennis ball.
Yeah, baby.
Oh my God.
Barry White.
You're so dirty. We were flashing some pictures of Rock of Ages already. So look at your hair.
Yeah, it's getting long. Fantastic. Oh, look at that. Look at that stud.
What is your name? What is your character name
Lonnie.
In the show? Lonnie.
I'm a narrator. There we go. There's our company. That's a great picture.
So you just wrapped at the Venetian.
3 years.
3 years.
1,100 performances.
Oh my God.
And, you know, yeah. it's been a rocking time.
What did you do before Rock of Ages at Venetian? Were you in town?
No, I was in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I had just finished 2 years touring with The Lion King.
Okay,
another
gotcha.
Big, yeah. small show,
yeah,
small
no,
Broadway
no,
musical.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just time. They yeah. called and said, are you available? And a lot of times with this business, you got to be available,
yeah.
right? You
know, like right now.
Yeah. You're doing something else.
Yeah.
Easy over there. Easy.
Scott's pretty crazy, so he's all right.
You know, so it worked out. They said, can you come to Vegas with Rock of Ages? And I knew I wanted to do the show, and I said, absolutely.
What did you think of coming to Vegas, though? Because I always ask when people come here, you know, were you frightened to come to Vegas at all? Or
no.
No?
No.
Right,
I had, you know, my experience with Vegas was just the, you know, the typical touristy thing. Come in, eat, drink, party, go home.
Right, right. You still do that?
A little bit.
I think so.
I think I eat a lot, as you know.
Yes.
But I knew that I had some sort of itch to get here because of the entertainment scene.
Yeah.
I'm an old school guy, too. I think I was born in the wrong era. But, you know, I love that Johnny Mathis.
Yeah.
Sinatra, Rat Packy.
Right.
Not so much the Rat Pack, just that old style of entertaining where it was
right.
somebody communicating to you, telling you what they wanted to tell you.
Right.
And I think that's where I think I see Vegas actually going back to,
yeah,
which
I
is
think
nice.
You're right. I think you're right.
So, you know, that big Cirque du Soleil, Lion King, big musical stuff, I think is starting to take a back seat to people just being honest and open mm-hmm. and communicating mm-hmm. again, which is what I'm attracted to. But when they called and said, you want to come to Vegas? I said, absolutely. I love it here. Love, love, love Las Vegas.
It is a great town. I mean, I'm born and raised here. That's why I always ask people who come to Vegas why and if they're apprehensive at all. But no, you embraced it fully.
Well, I think there's always that, you know, persona that the city gives. It's the strip, right? I'll give them to share mm-hmm. one with you. Mm-hmm. When people say, what's it like living in Vegas? I always say, you know, because most people have been to New York City.
Yeah.
So I make the comparison. And what I say to them, and it makes them get it right away, is I don't live in Times Square.
Gotcha.
So people think, oh, you live at the Venetian?
Right.
No, I don't live at the Venetian.
Right, right.
Because our show was there.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, I'm like, I don't live in Times Square.
Right.
And they get it.
Yeah.
There's so much more to the city than our, you know, 7 mile strip
right,
or whatever
right.
the hell.
Well, unless you're Britney Spears or J-Lo, and then they put you up.
Yeah.
I think you live in the Planet Hollywood. We just talked before you got here about J-Lo.
I saw it.
Did you see it?
I loved it.
You see? I started the show, and I said, not to knock anyone at Planet Hollywood, that I didn't get an invite to either the preview or the opening night. That's okay. How was it?
I think it's the best headliner concert in Las Vegas.
Awesome. I am going to be seeing it this week, I think.
Yeah.
So
I think she brings it. The production value is incredible.
Yeah.
Her entire team of dancers.
That's what I want to see.
Are probably the best in the nation.
Wow.
And I don't say that lightly because I've worked with a lot of amazing. When I watched this show, there wasn't a weak link.
Nice.
There's a live band on stage. There's four background singers that are wailing.
Yeah.
And I think there's 20 dancers, 10 men and 10 women.
Oh, perfect.
And they kill it.
Yeah.
And she even tries to sing live a few times, which is great.
Which
is great.
It's tough when you're twirling around your hair and you're moving your booty. It's hard to sing too. Yeah.
I'm 46 years old, look
are
like
you really?
That. No. I'm not. But I'm just saying when I turn
Wrong
46
no.
and I look like that and can do what she does,
gotcha, yeah.
I give it to her. Best show in town.
You know, I read about the show and I read that she, you know, came for the last couple of years and watching some of the best of shows, like the headliners, but also like Jubilee and she's all the Rev.
Yeah.
Because what I saw from, you know, the TV recaps were, you know, people coming down and hanging from the ceilings and doing a lot of sort of La Rev look.
Mm.
And then I saw Feathers, not unlike the Bette Midler show. Did you ever see that show when she was at Caesars?
No.
It looked a lot. I mean, she took what sort of maybe is the best of Vegas.
Put it all together
in a headliner series.
I sense that because she did do some, like she did a classic, you know, there was a classic tune in there. I forget which one it was that she sang, but there was this classic-y, vintage-y vibe, and then it was just incredible.
Nice.
2 hours. I'm sure since
wow.
I've seen it, they've cut it a little bit because I felt it was a little long.
Yeah.
And there was a few things that she probably didn't need to do.
Gotcha.
But she's brilliant.
And she's still Jenny from the Block. Did she do?
She did that.
She did that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to give anything away, but that was one of my favorite parts of the show, actually.
For me.
You know, I lived in New York City for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for 10 years, and that city's something special. And
yeah.
I can see just like, you know, you're born and raised here, being born and raised in New York, how you would, you know, take ownership and pride in that. And she certainly does. And there's a part of the show where you just can't help but get goosebumps and watch her come out going, I'm Jenny from the block. And you're like, you are. And you just brought it to Vegas. Like, she brings the block to Vegas.
Well, I love you. If you, Scott, you can pull up the graphic of the show again. I love her ad campaign. I mean, it is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely brilliant. It is so Vegas. It's perfect the way it's done.
I'm a guru for graphic design. I got an eye for it. And it's just simple. It's clean. Everything. And she's hot.
Oh, she is.
She's just hot.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, J-Lo, you could be sitting in this chair with Mark and I, too. Anytime.
Look, we even got videos.
We have videos. But, yeah, dancers. That's the biggest reason I want to see the show. Because that she's known for her backup dancers.
Yeah.
Hot ones, you know.
And who are the choreographers that did it? They're the people from... is it Dancing with the Stars?
Probably.
Like the choreographers or Dancing? I don't know.
It looks explosive. Yeah, it looks awesome. So did you see it on opening night?
I saw it the day before, two days before.
Mm-hmm.
A funny small world story. So when I moved to New York City in the late 90s, one of my first jobs was singing on a local cruise ship that went down the Hudson to take the Statue of Liberty. So I'd be like saying, the neon lights on Broadway, you know, whatever. And then I'd be like, to your left, it's the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those cheesy gigs. Anyway, I'm sitting.
I've been on that boat. It's fun.
It's fun. You get a buffet and a crooner.
It's a great way to see the city.
It is. It's really nice. Yeah. I'm not going to knock. It was my first gig. But one of the guys that I sang with in the cast, I look across the aisle, and you know how you can never forget somebody's name that you just know? He's got a very specific name. His name is Joey Zangardi.
I'm at
Jennifer Lopez, I look across the aisle, and I'm like, Joey Zangardi. You know how you just do that when you see somebody that you shouldn't see?
Right.
I said, Joey Zangardi. He looked at me and goes, Mark Chinook.
Oh, wow.
We stand up. We hug. I'm, what are you doing here? He goes, well, I'm with my mom and dad and my brother and his husband. I said, well, what are you guys doing here? His twin brother, is his twin, he looks identical to him, is Jennifer Lopez's stylist.
Oh, wow.
And has been forever.
Oh, my gosh.
He does all of her dresses and did all of the wardrobe for the concert.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
He's been with her for over a decade, I think, and does all of her red carpet stuff. And he's now excited because he's local to Vegas. Not Joey Zangardi, the twin brother.
The twin brother. Other Zangardi.
Zangardi. See, you can't forget that name.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome the Zangardi brothers. There it is.
There you go. Oh my God.
And they kind of do have a little Jesus-like resemblance. They have full beards and curly hair.
Nice. Anyway. But yeah, so you can't forget somebody they work with like that.
And so he's excited to be here.
That's awesome.
I said, you got to bring Jen to see Rock of Ages. And he just said, okay, I'll try.
Oh my God. Well, you reopen on Monday.
We open on Monday. I will not be there.
You will not
Monday's
be there.
Monday's my day off.
Monday's your day off. Monday's your dark.
Yeah, Monday's dark.
Which we'll talk about, yes.
Yeah, but so we spent yesterday for the first time in the new space as a cast.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We have Thursday, yesterday, today. No, wait, never mind. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
We have 4 days of 4 days of rehearsals.
It's coming to an end.
Yeah. 4 days of rehearsals to get the show ready to go. And it's a completely different space from where we were in the Venetian. And it's actually exciting. In the one day we've already been working space, the energy's cool.
Is it more of like what I remember of that space at the Rio that it's going into, it's more of like a ballroom space. Like, almost like, I mean, did they reconfigure it?
Yeah, it's completely reconfigured.
Okay,
they basically moved this set that you see into the room. And then there's going to be some cabaret tables, which is
nice.
A new element.
Oh, awesome.
The back of the room has the vintage booths. So there's some really cool seating options, but it's much smaller than where we were at the Venetian.
Right.
And so the worst seat at the back of the house, to me, is actually the best seat because you can take in everything. And we've added some elements that come out into the audience now because it's just that kind of room. So I come out into the audience and
You're going to make it more interactive.
Yeah, it's great. I think the show is going to be incredibly successful because of the room.
Yeah.
I don't know that the room was so conducive at the Venetian. We made it work.
Right.
But it was a huge theater. You know, I think we had 1,600 seats in there.
Right.
This, I believe, is like 650.
That's awesome.
And you feel like you're sitting at the bar with us.
Yeah.
That's how cool it is.
Well, and you're part of the music.
Yeah.
I think one of the guests that we're going to have on here in the near future is Matt Goss.
Yeah.
And he plays in the Gossy Room, which is way smaller than
barge.
He could probably. Yeah, the old Cleopatra barge. We've talked about that dirty water that's still in there.
Yeah, that's strange.
That's full of bad choices.
Yeah.
It's,
I think I've thrown some.
I remember going to the barge before.
Well, when I first saw Matt's show, and I love Matt. See, that's one we were talking about before. I think Vegas is going back to what he's already been doing. And when I went to his show, I said, "Can you tell me where the Gossy Room is?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's the barge. Go down there to the left."
I'm like,
and I didn't know what people were talking about. What are you talking about? And so I got, now that I work for Caesars at the Reno, I got to talk to them because Gossie doesn't need a barge anymore.
No, and Gossie, you know what? He could play a bigger room, but the idea, when I've seen his show, the idea of how intimate it is and the interaction with everybody, and everybody feels, and he went on, I think he went on for 2.5 hours. And
you didn't even, easy. Yeah,
he
easy.
Just kept, it's like singing in someone's living room. He just I got another tune to pull out for you. And you know, the band is awesome. Yeah. They're amazing. But like for you guys, the show, especially Mark's role, it's very interactive. If you haven't seen Rock of Ages, it's all the nostalgic music.
That's
yours.
Oh, hi.
That's mine. That's ours.
We share that one.
Hey.
Today it's brought to you by...
I know, the Arbonne Shake. Mm. This is
Did
what's
keeping...
Did you
put that in the shake?
That would be an interesting tennis ball chocolate. Ooh.
You should do that.
I don't
you know those really bad Shakeology shakes that everybody tries to sell you?
I don't want to throw up on the show, Mark.
I put them with coffee.
You put them with coffee? Yeah, no, we pour that a lot. Jay and I, my boyfriend and I, my fiance, I know. What? He doesn't know this story.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out which camera to look at.
Whichever one you want to. But it's very interactive. And so I think you guys really will do well at making the audience part of the show.
Yeah.
And that will make people want to. I think you're right. I mean, one of the things that fourth wall in theater is sort
of. We break it.
You break.
We don't have one.
Yeah, you don't have one.
That's we don't have
you're
one.
You're going to probably sit on people's lap in the audience.
Oh, I'm
going to
try
you
a few
are.
Times. A few
oh,
times.
Oh, my God.
I'll touch you.
And he will.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you about Monday's Dark. So Mark started this. We talked a little bit about this before you got here. About 3 years ago, you just celebrated your third anniversary?
Second anniversary. We're into year three.
Gotcha. And have you always done it at Vinyl?
It was always at the Hard Rock.
Or at the Hard Rock? Okay.
It just sort of jumped around their property until we found the right space.
Okay.
About 3 years ago now, 2.5 years ago. Look, my jacket looks velvety in that picture.
I know. Your whole outfit looks velvety. Mm,
you want to rub it, but it's not. It's just a cheap black suit.
you look really young there.
Hey now.
That was like, last week.
I look that actually I'm saying try the veal.
I like your
try the veal.
I like your belt.
Thank you.
And you've got like a whole You've got like this whole little like four unbuttoned buttons there.
I went deep.
You did.
Yeah. Ouch. Deep V.
So tell us how it started for you.
Yeah, about 6 months. Actually, I would take that back. I'm Justin Mortaliti, who you know, who's co-star Rock of Ages. About 2 months into Rock of Ages opening, which is now 3 years ago.
Right.
I said to him, I said, we got to do something where we can give back to the community. And he was like, yeah, whatever. And you and your goofy ideas. And then I told John Katz Lomitas from Greenspun one night at a bar. I said, John, I think I got this idea for a variety show that will give back. By month six of being in Las Vegas, it was on the books to open at the Act inside the Palazzo.
Right.
And it was just going to be a one-off just to see how it would go. And I partnered with Opportunity Village. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to throw a party for you guys. And they really didn't know who I was. Nobody did. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to get a bunch of guys from the Strip. We're going to do a variety show. And we're going to charge $20. And you're going to keep the money. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks before we were scheduled to open at the Act in the Palazzo, it closed.
Yeah.
And Robin Leach, of all people, wrote an article in the Las Vegas Sun basically saying, the Act is closing. Who cares? What are we going to do about Mark Chinook's charity event?
Wow.
The next day, the head of nightlife and entertainment at Hard Rock sent me a tweet. Didn't even have my personal information. Just sent me a message on Twitter saying, hey, man, I run nightlife at Hard Rock. I'd love to meet with you about your project.
Yeah.
And we did have a couple other casinos reach out. But I went over to the Hard Rock because from what I had been told, it was an easy place to get to. And knowing that this was going to be a local event, it just ended up working out perfectly.
Right, right.
So we took about a month and a half to regroup, re-prepare. And we opened in, whatever it is, October of that year.
Okay.
So we've done 25 events since then. Over $250,000 raised.
Wow.
Doing $10,000 at a time. Thank you guys. Uh-huh, thank you. No, sit down. The goal is always to raise 10 grand
every
in 90 minutes.
Wow.
$20 at a time. So we don't charge $100 or $1,000 a table. It's $20.
Yeah.
And our goal is $10,000 and we've been doing it. So this year, we've picked our 11 charities and we start on Monday, the 25th.
Anchorman.
And we're going to do the soundtrack to Anchorman.
Oh my gosh.
I've got that suit. I bought that suit. Mastriani's.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mastriani's Fashions.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
There's something going on over there.
They outfit Vegas.
No, I had no idea. I Amazoned a few suits that just didn't work.
Sure.
They were too costumey and they weren't real. I said, no, I need a real maroon suit. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, Mastroianni's. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I don't need dinner. I need a suit. Because there's a restaurant.
There is. It's on Hualapai.
Because I Googled and it came up a restaurant. I said, what are these people talking about? I don't need the freaking gnocchi and raviolis. I need a suit.
It might have been what they wear at that restaurant.
Yes, it might have.
Take one off of the server.
What are you looking for, my suit?
You know, I went to that restaurant at Aria Carbone.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm. And I wore this. Jay let me borrow his sort of this, that maroon velvet jacket. Yeah. It's the same one they wear
you
there.
Look like you
Everyone
worked
asked
there.
Me if I worked there. I was like, can I get my tableside Caesar?
Sir, where's my Caesar?
I'm serious. They had me alongside one of the guys making the Caesar salad with
him.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, but, so the Mastroianni's.
I found it. I called the guy. And I don't know if I caught him off guard, but I called.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be, hello, thank you for calling Mastroianni's Men's Apparel. How can I help you? It was,
right.
Hello.
What, his cell phone?
I said, what am I? Now I've thought I really lived in Vegas. I'm like, you need a suit? Meet me on Decatur.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'll show you all my goods. Yeah, right.
So
right.
I walk in.
Come alone.
It's a great store, and the guys are awesome. It's a bunch of dudes who are just like there to sell suits and clothes. And
it's over there by the flea market, right?
No, there's one over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it's right beside DW Bistro. Oh, it's opening a new, there's a new location opening right beside DW Bistro.
Gotcha. Outfit all
you
the
get
servers.
Chicken and waffles, and then you go
and
get
a maroon suit.
So I found it.
I love it.
And we're going to have some scotch for everybody.
Do you want to take this with you?
No, it's going to be gone by the time we leave here today.
The tennis ball.
Yeah. So we've got scotch.
Gotcha.
You know, I know the movie very well.
Yeah.
We're going to show clips on the screens. I'm going to give us things away. I got Sex Panther. You know, the cologne, 60% of the time, it works every time. I actually have the rawr, Sex Panther, so we're going to auction that off.
Yeah.
I've got a Talking Ron.
We have one, too. Jay's keeping it to see if he can get it signed by Will Ferrell, but I don't know when that's
I got a doll, yet. You push him, he talks.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to have all that stuff for auction.
All right.
And it's for the IPOF. You can't really see the logo, but it's the Injured Police. Injured Police. Hey, police officers.
Sorry. We're driving home after this, right?
So there's going to be 150 cops and 150 of our supporters. And
We'll be going. we'll be going.
So it's the Injured Police Officers Fund.
That's awesome.
On Monday.
Okay. We'll be there.
Yeah,
this will be the first one I actually get to make it to.
It'll be good.
I know.
I'll be in my maroon suit.
I know.
I won't let you down.
You won't let me down. So with this, so you've done it in vinyl.
Yeah.
You've done it in the joint, right? You did your big show.
The anniversary event.
Last month, right?
Yeah.
The
December event, what we do is we invite January through November. So the 11 charities that we've partnered with,
gotcha.
We bring them back and we all move into the joint.
Okay.
We have about 1,500 people.
That's amazing.
Bigger venue.
And your friend had said, you're going to do this thing 2 years ago, 2+ years
ago.
Yeah,
you know, it was just a goofy idea. And now we're already talking about Monday's Dark Los Angeles and Monday's Dark Nashville. So we're steering clear in New York because New York's bombarded with cabarets and stuff. So.
But we had Jeff Lebo on last week.
Yeah.
And you remember, you know, Jeff?
Yeah, I love Jeff.
And Jeff was talking about his Concert of Hope and he had the same thing. He did it here. He's done it here. And he's going to look at doing Concerts of Hope in other cities. I applaud you guys.
Yeah.
For doing this and having the brain to do this and bringing the talent of Vegas together.
Sit down.
To bringing the talent of Vegas together who want to...
Well, the town wants to do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the idea really wouldn't work if everybody didn't embrace it, guys like yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've made so many donations to our silent auction table and everybody loves your restaurant. So it's the city coming together. You know, I just had an idea. So I'm glad the idea was embraced. I'm glad we've been able to help, you know, so far 25 charities. We've got 11 on the docket for this year. And it's great for me. And I always tell my wife, I'm like, look, we're in good company because we surround ourselves on a monthly basis with people who have devoted their lives to helping people. There she is.
Oh, she's
good looking girl.
I like that dress.
I married up.
Is she, yeah, she looks.
Yeah,
well, she didn't buy that at Mastroianni's.
She might have. It was an old suit we converted. No, that was that pinup.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to see Claire Sinclair.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, look what's behind us.
All right. So the Mona Lisa.
Look, I shaved too.
Oh my God. Now, Mark recently went to Paris. Was it your first time?
It was my first time.
I want to hear because I did it once and I did it by myself. I went to Paris by myself.
That's fun.
And I got lost a few times, which is not a bad city to get
lost
in.
You're supposed to.
You get the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
What were your first feelings when you got there? How surreal it was? What did you feel as soon as you, oh my God. That's a classic picture. I assume that's on top of the
Eiffel Tower. Yeah. I couldn't get over how big the city was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look, I shaved. I need to shave more often.
You're a little European there.
Look at, bonjour.
You ate a lot of baguettes?
Yeah, I ate a lot of bread.
You look like Brandon Nix in that picture.
No.
Oh, look. Yeah. Baguettes.
That's my baguette. So we lived in, we got a place in the Oberkamp district.
Okay, you got a little place to rent?
Yeah, it was nice. Not a touristy area. It was actually a little boutique hotel. It had 30 rooms. Okay. So there wasn't any like spa, and it was just these really adorable, very contemporary new rooms.
Did it have a bathroom in the room?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because when I went, the bathroom was down the hall.
Yeah,
I had a bidet in the room.
There were many times
I just peed in the bidet because I wasn't going to walk down the hallway.
No, that's gross.
But, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'd probably dump in a bidet and just let it run to rinse it down. It was awesome. What struck me the most was the size of the city.
Yeah.
History, obviously.
Yeah.
We think we know history.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you go to a place like Paris and you're like, wait a minute.
And you go to the real Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it was just the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I think people in most European countries, they work to live.
Yeah.
Right. And over here we live to work.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And they get by with what they get by with, and they just make sure that they're healthy, happy, and loving life.
Yeah.
And I think if we could take a little bit of that and bring it over here, I think it would make the biggest difference because we put so much into stupidity. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a nice way.
Right, right.
We make more of what we should. And things that aren't really a big deal, we make such big deals. And what I loved about it over there is we could just chill. And what was great is I spoke the language.
Oh, wow.
So I could walk into a restaurant and communicate or go into a store and communicate with people. And I think that helped a lot because, you know, there's that persona that they don't like us because we don't speak their language.
Right.
And I can see that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we don't look like we're from Paris. We look American. And, you know.
You have an air about you, though.
Bonjour, les marques, blah, blah, blah.
Welcome to House Seats.
I do a little fake French every now and then.
No, it was great. It was an unbelievable time. And I can't wait to go back. Yeah. I did a lot of research before I went because it was my first time. And I said, hey, can we go in January because it's the winter?
Yeah.
And, you know, basically everybody said, if you can handle the cold, you'll actually love it because there's nobody around.
Yeah,
there are no tourists. And, you know, like going to see the Eiffel, that's one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah, all these little alleyways. Yeah,
this is Fête l'amour, which means, you know, obviously make love. And so I think that was just sort of everything I took from the trip.
Yeah.
It really was life-changing in the sense that I really don't make a big deal of the stuff that I used to a month ago. And I can say that honestly. Things that would upset me or just get under my skin a little bit, I'd be like, whatever, you know, you want to do that? Okay, great.
Did you get any jazz clubs there? Any
I went to almost every show I possibly could just from a research standpoint with some projects that I know that I've coming up and, you know, I needed to go see the show at Moulin Rouge just to see it. I went to Crazy Horse to see the girls show, which was absolutely
the
incredible.
The original.
Yes. And it's evolved to a place that there's nothing like it here.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why there isn't. Like,
right,
I know
right.
people have seen that show. Why aren't people just stealing what they do? Because it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's stunning. A lot of cafes, a lot of little like cabarets.
They really have a reverence around music. When I went, I remember, this was back in 1999, but I remember I went into a jazz venue that was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was an old hollowed out metro station. So it had this rounded, very dark, you know, they all smoked in there, but no one spoke. You know, here, when you hear jazz, a lot of times people are talking around the artist. It is literally a reverence around the music. And they embrace the jazz music like, I mean, they know it's very historic that it's something that we transported to them in a sense.
Yeah.
But and I think I saw an American band there doing jazz and it was amazing. But I think when you're talking about when we full circle it back to, you know, the venues here in Vegas. And the need for more of that intimate sort
it's
of
coming.
Feel. Yeah,
it's
coming. Because someone like Matt, who brings that sort of Sinatra sound in his own music that he sold millions of his own records, to bring it down to an audience where they feel like they're part of it. You're part of whatever we've done, when we've done the set list or when you're doing any projects where you're bringing the artist down into everyone remembering where they were when they heard a song or remembering
it's
the
real.
Feeling. Yeah.
The key is it's real and you're not pretending.
Oops. Oh, my timer said we're out of time.
Well, really?
I know.
I
it runs
to,
by
fast. Well, about to open the popcorn.
This is yours. I know. You want some more of that tennis ball?
No.
No. We wish you luck on Monday with the opening.
Thank you.
He's going to kill.
Yeah,
Rock
come of Ages. Come to the Rio. It's, yeah. If you, and especially if you've seen the show before, see it again because this new staging and it's just it's a new energy and you're going to feel like you're sitting with like really right on stage with us.
Right.
It's really cool.
And Monday's Dark, $20.
$20.
You can buy them at the door.
Probably not. Monday's Dark.
Okay, Monday's Dark. Monday's Dark sells out.
Yeah.
So Monday'sDark.com. Buy your tickets. $20. Anchorman.
Yeah, we're doing the Anchorman soundtrack.
In his Mastrione's fashions.
I love scotch.
And we'll be enjoying our Friday. Thank you for joining us for a special time. We'll see you next Monday.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
me.
Bye.